Welcome to Freedom Decoded.
We're Demir and Carrie Bentley. We're productivity coaches, lifestyle optimizers, and adventurers who love to experiment with new ways of living and working.
Professionally, we help other people get back in control of their life and get on their path to their ideal life.
You can learn more about what we do at lifehackmethod.com.
And this is the podcast where we let our hair down and give you the peek behind the curtain into our freedom lifestyle. We don't hold ourselves to a standard of perfection when we're launching a new product. We just focus on taking massive imperfect action.
Yeah, and this is true whether we're launching a new program or just tackling a new project or doing anything big and undefined that we've never done before.
So let's talk about launching a new initiative, a new program. We've got a lot of people who are small business owners, but even people working in corporate, launching something new. There's your reputation is enrolled in it. Your ego is involved in it. This can be like a really emotionally fraught period. And we're going through this right now. So we want to share some thoughts about it.
So the way we tackle big undefined projects at Lifehack Method is we start with sort of like a different end state in mind. So rather than an end state that is perfect and the launch is like hugely successful and like nothing has gone wrong and everyone's super happy and it was incredibly well organized from start to finish, we start with the end in mind of, hey, it doesn't have to look pretty for it to still be really good. And there's always time for us to iterate on this product.
In fact, if it does look too pretty, there's a sense that maybe we polished it up too much. There's a saying in Silicon Valley, if you're not like a little bit ashamed of your first MVP or minimum viable product, then you probably waited too long to push it out. And so there's this tension between getting it out there and getting exposed to the light of day, meaning getting exposed to your customers, see what they think about this thing, see how they react to this thing, rather than let's spit shine it to the point of impossibility and roll it out 2 years later.
Right. And so this is why almost the idea for the product or the impact that the project is going to be creating in the end, that's the most important thing. And that's the result that you need to hang on to. But don't worry about what the web page is looking like or like how many followers you have. I don't know. People worry about the craziest things. Like what we need to be worried about is how do we find this product market fit?
Yep.
How do we create a program that is going to have an impact in somebody's life? And if we get obsessed enough with that as the problem that we're trying to solve, we know we can create an MVP, a minimal viable product that's good enough just to get out there, but not so good that it's going to be really a shame to like redo it. Cause like almost always what happens is there is an iteration process.
Yeah. I mean, there's hairs in the salad. Like when you're moving fast, you'll serve a salad. There'll be a hair in the salad. Your early adopters need to be so hungry for that salad, so excited to get that salad that they are more than happy to pick that hair out of the salad and they sort of get it. They get the context and they're really willing to do it. So let's get specific now.
Yeah.
We're launching a product called Boost Mode. Let's talk about where this came from. So Carrie, where did the idea for Boost Mode come from? What is Boost Mode?
Yeah. So we just launched Boost Mode a couple weeks back and the idea came from our existing pool of clients. So already I love ideas that are coming from our clients because I know that there's probably going to be strong demand for them. Now, the idea may have come from them, but nobody explicitly told us the exact way they would structure the offer or what exactly it would include or anything like that. They were just like, oh man, like, gosh, I wish there was a way that I could just have one of your life hack coaches be my accountability buddy. That was it. A wish. That was the idea is like, hey, I wish this could be possible. And for a long time, we were like, no, like that's not, you know, let's not dip into that water. Like we're not ready for that yet. But the idea kept on resurfacing and resurfacing until finally we were like, we think we have an offer that we could put in place that would solve this need.
Totally.
So then crucially, what we did was we were like, let's just try it out. So we've got these great trained coaches. We've got this community of people saying they want it. Let's see if they actually do want it, right?
So before we move past that, I just want to distill some things at this point. By taking something that was bubbling up from our client base, strong demand is implied. It's not a guaranteed, but it's implied. And it's also something clearly that people are wanting so much that they mention, because a lot of times people have like these subverbal wants where it's like, they think about it, but they don't say it. You can rest assured if somebody takes time out of their day to write you an email saying, I wish this existed, that is not just twice or three times as much of a want. That's like 10 times as much. So you know that when people are saying it to you, that there's a there. Maybe your first product iteration won't hit the there, but we strongly implied there's a there.
And I have such mixed feelings about this, because it's almost like all feedback is correct and no feedback is correct.
Agreed.
Because we also get client emails that are like, can you please offer your live winning the week sessions every hour of the day on Friday? Because like my schedule is so unpredictable that I don't know when I'm going to want to attend. And we're like, yeah, but you can watch the replay. They're like, no, but the live is so much better. I'm like, okay, so operationally, that would be such a difficulty for us. Like that would never make sense for us and our business. So it's like, we never want to react with just like, customer is always right, do it. You know, because that would be very dangerous, which is why we sat on this idea for so long, because we didn't want to start executing on something that was actually not really a great idea. Like you said, the demand was implied, but here's where the rubber meets the road. It's like, we wanted to test if the demand was real. How do you test that? You get someone to pay for it. People telling you that they're going to pay for stuff never works. Okay.
You can value that at functionally zero.
It's nothing. So what we did was we were like, let's just put something together and let's just try to get 10 people to enroll in it and do a trial of the whole program. And so we put one of our best coaches in charge of the program and we sort of threw it together and we're just like, okay, can we fill this up? And within one day, all 10 spots were taken. So we were like, okay, this is really good. Right. Cause like, there is some level of demand here. Now let's see how it goes with the actual program execution.
Totally. And we had an initial instinct about how it would go. And I just want to pause here and say, it is so important to recognize that whatever your first instinct is probably not correct in some important way. But it's also important to just start somewhere.
Yes.
Right. And I think people can't reconcile the two.
Right.
They can't reconcile that like your first idea is probably not going to be the idea you land with in the end. So what they do instead is they say, well, then let me be clever. I won't take any action. I'll just keep thinking and I'll like think my way into the perfect thing. And I'll skip all of those intermediate steps where I screwed it up or didn't get it right. And you just can't do that. You have to start with what feels like the smartest, best, rightest way to launch this thing and just allow yourself to be proven wrong by reality. And people don't want to be wrong. They don't want to put something out there and risk that something was incorrect or wrong or misaligned with it. And I just want to get this across. You've just got to go through that. You can't get around it. You can't go above it. You can't go below it. You've got to go through it.
Yeah. And the crucial learning from this trial period that we did with Boost Mode was that, oh, heck, our initial assumptions about what this program should be are way off.
Totally.
And again, it was because we listened, I think, a little bit too much to what the client was telling us they wanted. They were saying, oh, I just wish I could keep on getting on the same sort of call with my same welcome call coach from Lifehack Tribes. We're like, great, let's provide that sort of call. And then with the results coming back from the trial, we realized we're like, oh, no, this whole format of this call needs to be completely different. Like the goal needs to be different. The scripts need to be different.
The training, the approach, the vibe.
The vibe, everything needs to be different. But because we had just done it with the trial and we hadn't even invested that much energy into it, it was actually a relief to shift gears. We were like, thank goodness we hadn't done all the work to do a full launch.
Imagine if instead of 10 people that we put into the trial, what if we had put 100 people into that trial?
Yeah, because then those are the 100 people most likely to buy this program. It's like, are they going to continue with it? No.
Yeah, and they're our biggest fans too. So you've got 100 of our biggest fans having an experience that's suboptimal.
Right.
So we start with 10, and then even this launch, we capped it at 60. So was it really a launch? No, it was like a second test phase, right? It was like a second trial.
Right. It's like a bigger trial, an expanded trial. But it's really exciting because already we know we've iterated on it once. And so now you and I are personally excited about it, right?
Yeah.
Because now we're like, oh, we've got our hooks into something.
Yeah.
We can sense that the product market fit is just like coming together. And because we're excited about it, now we've dedicated a lot of our own personal time to rewatching recordings and giving our coaches tips on how to improve in their calls.
Yep.
And we're making ongoing tweaks and we're finding weird edge scenarios that we never thought we'd have to even deal with. But now it's like the program is really starting to come together and get rounded out.
It's absolutely come together beautiful. We found edge cases. We've improved scripts. We've solicited real-time feedback from both the coaches and the attendees. We're changing some marketing and messaging to increase the clarity. There's just so many positive changes happening. And it's happening so much faster than it would have happened if we tried to academically figure this out. There's just something about getting in the game.
Yeah.
And starting to play the game and just throwing yourself in there. Now, I do want to love on our coaches because they're allowing us to just throw them off the deep end.
Right.
Now, when I say throw them off the deep end, let's be honest, like we did a first trial. This is the second trial. We've got SOPs and systems. But still, it will never fully capture the totality of what they're going to meet on the ground.
Right.
They're going to meet different scenarios. I gave them a script. I timed out the script. I said, this is a 30-minute script. Like, they're like, I can't get this done in 30 minutes, right? Okay. And when I'm rewatching, I'm realizing that, like, hey, yeah, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And so, yeah, they're getting in there with my perfect script and realizing it ain't so perfect after all. Great. What I love about our coaches is that we've warned them and they've got the kind of resilience where it's like, yeah, we're finding this program.
Right.
Right.
It's finding it.
And the feedback that I'm getting, I just sent out a feedback email. About a third of people who are taking it in the last day responded back to me right away, loving it. 10 out of 10. Right. And so, you know, that sounds like a flex, but that wasn't the feedback we were getting in the first trial.
Right.
Right. So I can certainly say that.
And by the way, like Cricket's feedback is bad. Not
good. Yeah. If you ask for feedback and people don't respond, you can assume that's about the worst feedback you can get. Which again is nobody's fault but our own.
Yeah.
Because we listened to the client. They said, we want this. We gave them that. They didn't like it.
Right.
Okay. Well, great. Then like now it's our job to read between the lines.
Yes.
And see past what they're asking for to what the outcomes they really want and use our expertise to engineer that for them.
Right. Exactly. And for those of you who might be wondering and listening, like, what is this boost mode thing they keep talking about? So this is a service we only offer for our Life Hack Tribe members. It's an add-on subscription where you can get one-to-one accountability with one of our Life Hack Method coaches. So it's really, really cool. It's right now it's full. It's we filled up and we're not taking new enrollees right now, but we will be opening up enrollment sometime in the next couple of months again to a handful of new clients. So if you are a Life Hack Tribe member, then keep on the lookout for that because you do have to be an active member of Life Hack Tribe in order to get boost mode.
So what's the lesson here? The lesson here, I think, is you want to use a lean methodology approach when you're launching a new project or initiative, right? And what does that mean? It means launch quickly to a small subset of your ideal user with a minimum viable product. Feel free to be very transparent to that user. Like, hey, I'm going to give you something that's got, you know, warts and hairs on it, right? But we want to get something in front of you that you can use, get that real feedback from real users, and then iterate based on those learnings in a tight feedback loop.
Right, exactly. It works so, so, so well. And I credit Demir's background in startup land to why we have this approach and why we feel so comfortable with it. But honestly, you can apply this for any big project. We applied it to planning our wedding. You know, we applied it to heck, even having kids, right? Like every new project in our business also, like an SOP, like do a quick and dirty version of the SOP. Nothing has to be perfect the first time you do it. And giving yourself that permission to just like not be a perfectionist for once is really, really satisfying and results in a better outcome.
I just think about it like being a scientist, right? Like a scientist knows that over the course of their career, they're going to run a lot of experiments that aren't going to pay off. But you have to run the experiment that you think is the best one, because even if what it's telling you is, oh, what you think is the right thing is actually not the right thing, that's a major shift in your perspective on how you see the world. It really takes you from, oh, I thought this would have been the answer, but it's not. It's actually over here. Mm-hmm. That really gets you closer and closer to understanding whatever that fundamental thing is that you want to understand. If it's a scientist, it's how enzymes work with cells, you know? And if it's a small business owner in the online community, it's like, hey, what are our clients really dig on? What do they love? What do they feed off of? What gives them 10x value? Yeah. And so you know, we've got the set of assumptions about what our client likes, what they want, what they get 10x value from. Those are inherently not perfectly aligned with reality.
Right.
And so these series of experiments get us closer and closer to base reality, where we're understanding our client more and more and more. We're just to the point where hopefully the end result is you can mind read them.
Right.
You can give them what they want before they even could have known what it is that they needed, and give them an experience that's so much better than they could have designed by themselves. That's where you want to be. You want to be three steps ahead of your client, not like three steps behind.